If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Good morning, Malcolm Nance.
Good morning. How are you, Stephanie?
Listen, the wood chipper, it appears to be churning pretty quickly to me. What would you say?
Oh, this is one of those weeks. You know what? If it wasn't for that horrible environmental disaster going on down in Houston, and our hearts goes out to everyone who's affected,
This
would be a momentous week in the Trump-Russia investigation. I mean, at one point, that we were getting stories almost every few hours.
Malcolm, did you think that we would hear an email that reads, and I quote, "Our boy can become president of the USA, and we can engineer it. I will get all Putin's team to buy in on this. I will manage this process," as Felix Sater wrote. Are we done now?
No, but you know what? You know, before people were saying we're going to get a peek under the tent, we are way beyond that. I mean, the camel is inside the tent, and it's dancing Macarena. So what we have here is, and did you, about the Sater memo, if this was November 2016,
yep.
And if you recall in the timeline in my book, I said that one of the key points when the Russians decided to really go for Trump was somewhere around December, when Putin made his tacit endorsement of Trump, when he came out and said, you know, Trump is a very colorful person, he's an interesting character, I think he would be good for the United States. Well, now we know what the precipitating event is, that Sater finally made contact with the Russians, and the Russians, of course, have been carrying out this operation against the DNC since early summer 2015, and now they had a focal point. And
yeah.
I think this is where everything will stem from. The Russians went into full cooperation mode, and then from that point onward, it was just finding people in the Trump camp who would be involved in multiple dirty trick schemes.
Obviously, other developments. Mueller has subpoenaed Paul Manafort's spokesman. The Kremlin this morning said, "Oh, we received the Trump Tower email, but we did not respond." And the Kremlin, if the Kremlin said it, that must be true, correct, Malcolm?
Oh yeah, well sure. I always believe the ex-director of the KGB. Mm-hmm. you know, this is insane. You know, the funny thing is that Trump has been trying since 1987 to get involved on a international level to build a Trump Tower in Moscow, and back in 88 when he visited St. Petersburg, which at the time was called Leningrad. And it appears that has been a massive dangle in front of him, besides the fact that he made a lot of money from Russians in real estate. And I think all of this is going to come out in the laundry. I think the Mueller investigation now has its key focal point for the bridge between the Kremlin's operation against Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump himself. And everything after that has been massaging, and it's just a question of figuring out which meetings people were actually involved in and what Donald knew himself.
You tweeted, "Mueller probes Manafort early financial ties to assess if he is an FSB/Kremlin paid asset." You said subpoenaing executives is serious and logical.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, you've been talking about all along, right? Whether people are witting or unwitting assets of Russia.
That's right. Well, I was on Hardball earlier this week, and we discussed this point. And by drawing a circle around Manafort, all of his past lobbying, and going after very specific individuals, this tells us that the FBI and the Mueller investigation, they have intelligence that is now evident about Manafort. And, you know, by saying we're going to go back to key people in your organization and then picking out a public relations person and a liaison officer, they already know the answer. They are just figuring out, we're going to start applying pressure against you with key people who will flip against you. And we've already probably matched up all of your emails, and we just want to see you live. And
right.
As we said on this show in early July, we knew, you know, I knew Manafort was probably not going to be someone to cooperate, and they would have to raid his offices. But little did I know that, you know, the Mueller investigation is going whole hog after his entire history. They want to know, was all of this money you got, the $17 million that came from the Russian, Russian-related pro-Moscow Ukrainians, was that actually payment for being an asset, a paid asset of the Kremlin? And if it was, he's going to lose it all, and they're going to start ripping apart the rest of his life. And it's going to be an example to everybody else.
Do you feel like Felix Sater may have already turned state's evidence, or no?
You know, I don't know, but I can tell you right now, he's probably scrambling to justify what he was doing. And he's going to say, oh, it was just a business thing. I didn't realize that, you know, that this was involved with Russian intelligence. But this isn't just Felix Sater on that email with Moscow and talking about Putin. This is Felix Sater's whole life is now going to get turned into a mob finance investigation. And Mueller's got the top people in America for that. And I think they're going to use him as a lever bar to get out everything he has done with Donald Trump that has been legitimate or illegitimate. And believe me, I think Sater will flip. He'll flip hard. Now he has documentary evidence against him.
Malcolm, you can tell how relatively buggy the targets are getting by, first of all, you've seen, you know, some Republicans putting forward things to either shut Mueller down or defund him or shut him down after a certain, you know, amount of time, or that he can't look, back past 2015.
Right.
I mean, how do you think all that's going to play out?
At that point, we need to start saying that individual congressman from Florida whose name escapes me because
DeSantis.
He was such a nonsensical, you know, no one even knew about this guy until this. Well, it's quite obvious that they are trying to create a legal basis for obstruction of justice. And, you know, this is I got to say it 1,000 times, a national counterintelligence investigation. It is not just an investigation into mob money or something. This is a national security investigation, the most single damning investigation done since the Rosenberg sold atomic bomb secrets to the Russians, and this guy wants to obstruct justice. Well, I think that should be hung around his neck, because the investigation is not a toy, and it could just as easily happen to a Republican in the next year as happened to Hillary Clinton.
Malcolm, what was I going to say? I mean, yeah, it seems to me like we're almost, you know, uncovering an obstruction of justice charge every other day. I mean, on top of everything else, but people are saying like this pardon of Arpaio was a signal that, you know, don't flip, I'll pardon you in Trump Russia, right?
Yeah, right. And yeah, I've also discussed that this week on television. It almost, you know, you really have to wonder whether that was the original intent. Was the intent really to get Arpaio off because he's a great guy and he plugs Trump's team? Or was it a message to everyone who's committed a crime? Don't flip. I will get you out of this. And that in itself could be a charge of obstruction of justice.
Right.
Because it could be considered an abuse of presidential power.
Right.
Now, all that requires, though, is for somebody to have written that in an email or to have made a phone call, and despite what a lot of these guys think, you know, many of these people are under FISA investigation, which is why, you know, the FBI team carried out that 6 a.m. raid for Manafort.
Right.
They had to have known through some method of intelligence collection that he went home with documents to destroy them.
Right.
And as my friend Harold Suther from USC, a former FBI officer, said, we never raid. He said they never raid before 6 a.m., not even for drug lords. And that means that they prepared for that raid at midnight.
Yeah.
That means they knew he was going to destroy evidence.
Yeah.
But if Trump is sending the message out that, hey, guys, I'm going to take care of you, well, he might take care of them. But that doesn't mean that they can't be sued at the state level. That means they couldn't have broken international laws. And it also means that he might have another obstruction of justice charges.
Yeah. We were saying earlier in the show that out here in Hollywood, plastic surgeons are calling that the pre-dawn facelift. Pre-dawn raid facelift. That's what it's called. So we have that same surprised face.
I can imagine that.
Wait a minute. So the last thing I wanted to ask you, because this, again, how desperate they're getting. You've heard about this Dana Rohrabacher says that they're setting up a meeting with him and Trump after he rendezvoused with Julian Assange to prove that Russia was not behind the hacking. I mean, this is getting so absurd, and them trying to create their own set of facts, right?
You know, I so wish you had been at Politicon and sat and seen that. I was sat next to Dana Rohrabacher, who seems like a very sincere old guy. I mean, he's an old combat veteran. You got to give him his props for where it's worth. But this guy is so deep in the pocket of Moscow.
Right.
You know, the first question he asked everybody was, have you been to Russia? Have you been to Russia? And he just views them as an extension of all things good. And to say that, you know, he's going to arrange these, you know, essentially give WikiLeaks a higher status than the U.S. intelligence community just furthers the investigation. I mean, these people, in any traditional year, these people would have shut up, and they would have gone behind a wall of lawyers, and this investigation would take 2 or 3 years. But I mean, come on, they're personally shifting the gears on the wood chipper of justice into high gear.
But Malcolm, the last question I wanted to ask is just in terms of, this is part of the problem, isn't it? We have an entire party that is complicit in this because they know that they're the ones that benefited, whether it's Rohrabacher trying to, you know, float this ridiculous conspiracy theory that it's an inside job. He said if this information comes out, there'll be outrage among the American people that their time has been wasted. I mean, but you know what I'm saying? It's like in between that and the congressman we talked about trying to shut Mueller down. I mean, and by the way, some of the cybersecurity people just left because they said they're making no effort to try to combat this because they think they're going to be helped again.
You know, it's utterly amazing how this is no longer a question of partisanship. This is a question of anti-Americanism. They almost as if it's more important for them to protect themselves and the president. And it, once again, I've said this 1,000 times. In the intelligence community, it is not who, what, when, where, or how. It's why. We look for your motivation. Which is the motivation will tell us everything we need to know. Why are these people behaving this way?
Right.
And there has to be some underlying cause. You know, the thing that got Sessions to meet secretly with Kislyak and for Jared Kushner to ask them for secure cryptologic communication so that the CIA wouldn't listen to them. I mean, there is something nefarious going on here. And I don't mean to say that just because, you know, this may be partisan. Every person I know in the intelligence community, which is a lot, I get guys write to me and stop me all the time and go, hey man, what the hell? It's like, what the hell indeed? We have no clue as to their base motivation.
Yeah.
And that's Mueller's job. Were they paid off?
Well, I know that, you know, people... A lot of, you know, lifelong Republicans like you, whether it's Richard Painter, Bill Kristol, Anna Navarro, I mean, I think have been sounding this warning bell that this may not just take down Trump. This may take down this entire party if they're complicit in this. We don't know how deep this goes, right?
Well, you know, I mean, what is the question you got to ask yourself is if this goes to a nefarious place, if this looks like some people were challenging Benedict Arnold for the use of his name, are they going to stick with them?
Yeah.
What's it going to take? Is it actually going to take a charge of the Espionage Act or RICO statute? I mean, I'm certain if it comes out to where Mueller goes out and starts indicting, let's say, Manafort and Flynn on RICO, well, see, that's criminality the average American can understand.
Right.
I think the Republicans will abandon ship at that point.
Ah.
Now, if it's Hatch Act, which is something, you know, that most Americans can't understand. But if it goes to Espionage Act or RICO statute, I think they will not only run, they'll swear they never met anyone in the Trump campaign ever, and that he was a put up, and you start hearing them say he's a Democrat.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Such memory problems in the Republican Party. Nobody can remember anything. Malcolm, I'm going to be on vacation next week, so you may preside over the resumption of America with Frangela. So good luck. If it happens next week, I'm going to be really jealous.
Where are you going?
All right. We'll talk to you when we get back.
All right. Take care.
All right. Love you. Bye. What?
Oh, no. He asked where you were going.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear him. Quebec. Okay. All right. There we go.